So we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole today. Chasing the rabbit, being the fox. Don't know, being whatever chases rabbits. We're going to be doing a little bit of deeper thinking. Maybe wanting to understand a little bit more. Minding yourself, understanding yourself, getting into you. Who are you? And why are you so fucking angry?
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
As an emotion, I've heard anger has, or kind of being touted, you know, in the past as some form of motivator to go and achieve something. And, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a client last week who was just completely hating on herself for her stats. Firstly, you know, that's normal, the hating of self for whatever fucking reason. I mean, we do it. You know, but in terms of stats and the client, the stats went in the wrong direction. Not for the first time in our journey so far, which is probably about like 14, 15 weeks at this point, something like that. But she definitely isn't feeling there are good weeks and bad weeks. She's lost over 30 centimeters off her tummy. We take 3 site measurements, so that's a cumulative figure, obviously. Down about 12 pounds, which is, you know, I'm kind of okay with that. It's normal for me if we're talking weight loss. Pound a week is kind of all right. And she's doing the training sessions, you know, which she doesn't always want to do or start, but says she feels good during and after. So big picture, looking at progress, not overly concerned. Definite and obvious progress though. Could it be better in terms of stats? Sure, everything can always be improved. But that doesn't really help her though. It would be easy to say that, you know, and I just said to her that, you know, I wasn't concerned. Just get going again. You've done it and are doing it. Just not consistently yet. And, you know, all of that is true. And I have said that before. And that's what we have done. We've used action steps. But like I said, you know, it's not really helping the client learn. And more importantly for me, it's not helping the client grow. And that growth is beyond knowledge of food or training. It's beyond, like, discipline. It's growth and awareness, it's understanding, and it's compassion for self, herself. And when we had our weekly call, she said she was disgusted with herself and really angry. So like, I know right away, okay, here's definitely a bigger issue that I want. And for me, that's important, you know, that I want to coach on. I actually got a little bit excited. And yes, that does make me a little bit of a weirdo. And I really do prefer the conversations that go beyond calories and reps, the stuff that goes into personal. And I had quite a few of them last week. It's the end of summer coming up, you know, and there's, you know, there's a realization that it's a fucking damn hard time to stay on track with food and exercise. Routines are out the window. Trying to work towards goals and that. It's just not a good time. She said she knows what she needs to be doing, but she just isn't doing it. The old know and doing gap, which is easily, you know, linked back to subconscious programming. And I asked her, was that anger helping her? And she said that it was. And I asked, how was it helping? She told me that it was going to make her determined. But what I recognized there is that the perceived failure, anger, determination, temporary change, you know, wanted results, then unwanted results, was a cycle. She was in a cycle still. And this is where my thinking now completely shifts off trying to encourage or agree action steps to get change. Lots of times we can employ action steps to kickstart progress. And we could do that here, like I said. Again, it would work. but it would still be avoiding the issue. I don't know. I think this is where some coaches are maybe afraid to go. Never mind clients are afraid to go. This is a mind issue here. Not a mindset, technically, because the mind isn't exactly fixed. It's progressing. You know, it's seeing results. Some slow, slightly more consistent, you know, longer period of, say, internal love and belief-based changes. Yeah, they're happening. But it is a mind issue where the feedback loop is interfering with consistency, progress, with self-belief, with confidence, and ultimately with results. And clients want results. I want results for clients. So there's blockages. And again, it's normal. It's our job, though, for me, as you know, as a coach, to try and clear the blockages, like cleaning out the gutters of your house so the water flows freely into the downpipe. You see, it's not about ability. Results in this client show ability to change is there because there's been change. And there's ability to change. Ability to choose is there. The issue in terms of, you know, interference and distraction and attention on the wrong thing, looking from the wrong perspective. And again, it's not about ability or capability to change that. Now, I guess I have to say this because it's probably starting to sound like I'm about to blow me on the trumpet here, and how I've been able to help the client reframe this. If it sounds like that, then, you know, it probably is. But right now, I don't know if there is change. There's merely the space being created for change. But the point I want to make is how we get to the reframe. When we're wanting to help someone change their perspective, it's important to try and make it as relatable to them as possible without us telling them, you know, what they need to do, what they should do. We want to try and get someone there themselves by answering the questions rather than just me saying, yes, go and do this. So me went in, you know, with, okay, let's take a look at your subconscious program right now around these beliefs and start to tackle these issues, which I know are really non-issues, but you're making them issues based on years of layer upon layer of the same thing. It's not the right time for that teaching lesson. And that would have been a teaching lesson. So in this case, it's about going for something handy. And as I was crossing my fingers, relevant, I asked her to tell me about her job and what she does. So she explained to me the details, which I won't break down completely, but basically she works, you know, very hands-on with kids one-to-one with developmental issues and helps them get to a place where they improve quite significantly in their ability to communicate. And it's pretty impressive work. And it was about helping the client, as in client, my client, see how where we were in our client and coach situation is very, very similar to where she is with her clients at times. Her clients are at times angry, frustrated, disappointed, and feeling like a failure. Yes, they're kids, but they still go through those same emotions. And in fact, a lot of those emotions that we'll go through as kids, we're going to bring in childhood. So I asked simply that if, you know, one of those kids told her that they were angry and frustrated at themselves for not being able to do a thing, would she encourage it? Of course not. Was like this almost shocked and defiant and stern answer. Why not? You know, I asked. And she said that, well, because it wouldn't help. It would probably actually make them feel worse. And then everything would be worse. So what have you been doing with yourself? And where are you with me? And there was silence. I could almost hear the penny dropping. It was like this beautiful moment. And we see this so much, and I see it with myself. We're really good at being able to help other people through the things that they're going through, but we don't seem to be able to help ourselves. And that example for my client, you know, we showed it's not about ability, because if you can help someone else progress when they're experiencing similar beliefs and emotions to what you are, then you're more than capable of progression too for yourself. Because you can't see in others what you don't have in yourself. Yet we don't do it. We don't help ourselves. Why? Mostly for the same reasons outlined previously. You know, the fucking gutters are blocked and the water can't run freely. There's this flow, right? Okay, so there's this flow that runs through us. And I know some of you are thinking, Paul, there's a fucking natural flow shape runs from your mouth. But there's this flow, okay? It's a natural flow of energy. And when we don't deal with our stuff blocks that flow. So when we don't deal with our stuff blocks that flow of energy, just like moss or leaves or other crap blocks the gutters. You've heard before, obviously, not just for me, because I copied it from someone smarter, that everything is energy. Einstein, I think. Everything that makes this world exist is energy. I mean, how cool is that? I love it. In the last episode, I called us all out for saying we have no motivation. Like, we don't have the energy to do something. But alas, that is a lie. We don't need energy. We are energy. We are fucking energy, okay? Atomic energy, cosmic energy, created by the stars, baby. You know, and I think that's pretty cool whenever you look at it like that. And we are actually worth a hell of a lot of money if you could monetize the energy in our body or use us to power, you know, some small companies, which you could, technically. Like, obviously, we'd take it in turns so we could get a rest and recover. You know, but it's scientifically proven that we're an absolute mass of energy vibrating on a very specific frequency. You know, I gotta say that I get a lot of pleasure out of being my own vibrator, being aware of that. What are we using our energy for, though? For what we want or what we don't want? For good or bad? Positive or negative? For enriching life experiences or for fucking sulking around, feeling sorry for ourselves and giving off about how shit life is and that the world sucks? Are you maybe fed up in your job? Maybe fed up in your relationship? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're fed up being a parent. Maybe you're fed up being fat. Is that what you say to yourself? Yet you're not a parent. It's not who you are because you existed before kids. You're not a wife. You're not a husband. You existed before marriage. You're not your job title. You know, you existed before that. You're not fat. You have some. You're not your gender or your skin color either. You know, those things are not who you are. They can all be changed. But you're still going to be here. In there. This place that we live, like this world, this planet, you know, it's about 4 or 5 billion years old, I think. I'm only 40 years old. The universe itself is coming, I don't know, it's like 14 billion birthday coming up in a couple million years. You know, and science has proven to us that, you know, all that time ago, so like the 13, 14 billion years ago, there was this big bang. Some gases or shit started floating about, sciencey stuff, and you know, there was light traveling for billions of years and collisions and other dangerously cool stuff, stars forming, planets forming, basically absolute carnage. But that took billions of years, you know, billions of years of creation from seemingly nothing. Now this is, I guess I have to segue for a point here and address the God idea, the God concept, and that biology, not biology, fucking biology, the Bible or theology. That's what I wanted to say. So the Bible or theology refers to an omnipresent God, as far as I remember. A God that's always been there. Science also understands, though, that something had to exist prior to the Big Bang, because something doesn't come from nothing. So science agrees that there must be something before the Big Bang. I don't know what that is yet. It might one day. So we're not here to dismiss God, all right? But I'm not also here to prove it either. Not yet, okay? They don't know what that is yet. Okay, science. And I want to trust science a little bit, all right, because it's evidence-based. I like that aspect of evidence-based stuff rather than just kind of believing in something for the sake of it. Anyway, all right, segue finished, because this is not an ecumenical debate. But science has proved that life began with this explosion, all right, and the how and why is still debated. It's going to be debated for a long time. And in our, you know, universe, whatever, there's billions of galaxies and billions of planets and billions upon billions of stars that, like, dead smart people can see with super-duper telescopes. Now, of all those billions upon billions of galaxies, stars, and planets, there only seems to be one that supports life. That goes beyond bits of dust, or there might have been water. And that planet is ours. Think about that, all right? Think about that for a moment. Take stock of that and think about that for a moment. The billions upon billions of galaxies, stars, and planets, yet there's only one that seems to support life. I mean, all they've found so far is like something that might have had water at some point. I mean, I reckon we kind of hit the jackpot being born here. So let's enjoy that moment, celebrate it, give ourselves a high five, and be present to it and be pleased that you were born on Earth. and not Jupiter or Mars. What motivation could you possibly need to find that would push you to go and live a life filled with awesome experiences and personal growth beyond just knowing that you're getting to experience an absolute fraction of moments in almost 14 billion years of moments, and you're worried that your fucking neighbor's grass looks nicer than yours, or you're annoyed that your jeans make your bum look big, that someone looked at you, I don't know, maybe strangely when you were in the gym? Seriously? Come on, please. Entertain me here. You know, this is the kind of nonsense that we hold on to as we surf this fucking land surrounded by water and air on a planet that's spinning around a burning star in a galaxy of galaxies after 14 billion years of creation and moments. What thoughts are you storing as we spin here? We store some seriously stupid crap, then are triggered by something that has shit all to do with that thing that was stored. A similar name, a resemblance, a smell, you know, it could be a sound or a color or a place. Even those triggers have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the original unwanted thought or memory or event or situation we're still triggered. Why? We just forgot to vibrate to let the energy flow naturally through us. That's what, you know, those things that annoy us are in their purest state. They're energy, fucking atoms. We're getting annoyed and trying to control these atoms. And that's like a fish trying to control the direction of a tide. You don't have any control. I am sorry, but you don't. I think we should get back to just vibrating here and let those 13 plus billion years of awesome creation do some more. And we get on with enjoying it. And that leads me to a couple of questions. The first being, who are we? I've said earlier, you're not your hair, your name, skin color, gender, etc. You know, those are physical things, identifiers. But they aren't you. You are aware of them, yes, as part of your being, but they aren't you. Who are you? Every day it appears you're making choices that impact, for example, your body shape. But who is making the choice? You're not your body. You have a body, and you existed before the body you have now. You existed as a teenager. You existed as a child. You existed as a toddler, as a baby, as a fetus. Are you not the you that was born? Now, this is a bit of a rabbit hole. And when people look down into rabbit holes, they get a little bit scared. But, you know, about what could be down there. And when you make changes regarding your body that are stimulated or influenced by your senses, again, who is making those changes? Your senses are simply picking up and transmitting information to your mind. And your mind is interpreting that information and gives you an answer in your head. You can close your eyes and still see. You can see pictures on the screen of your mind. You know, you can see things in the future and you can see things from the past, if you want. The future things is imagination. The past is memories. When that's happening, who is it happening to? And that's important, in my opinion, to want to try and work out. If you're trying to work out why you keep doing things that you don't want to do and getting results that you don't want to get, then you might want to try to get an idea of who you actually are that is doing that, that's experiencing that. You see it, you feel it, you taste it, you touch it, you hear it. That's if you're lucky to have all your five senses. And yes, I said lucky, or, you know, it could be unlucky, I guess. Sometimes we get caught up in what our senses are feeding us. Our senses are just the antennae that feeds information into our mind. Maybe antennae is outdated. The analog needs upgraded to digital. Do you remember that switchover? I don't know. Maybe it needs upgraded to fiber optic wireless something, transferring data at speeds that are faster than Virgin Broadband. I know, that wouldn't be hard. But your senses are constantly fucking with you. You're not what you're seeing. You're the one who's seeing it. You're not what's in the mirror. You're the one who sees what's in the mirror. And if you hear, there's the voice in your head, and it sounds like your voice, realize this. You're not the one you're hearing. You're the one who's hearing the voice. You're the one observing. You're the watcher of the world around you through your senses, You're the listener. You're the feeler. You are the feeler. You feel emotions in your heart, not your physical anatomical blood pumping heart, your heart center, your energy center. You're not your body, remember. You have a body. You're not fat. You have fat. Your body can be taken off limb by limb while you're under anesthetic, and when you wake up tied down to a fucking bed, you will still be you until you get some feedback that shows you what's missing. At that point, you'll probably freak out, but you're still in there, still observing. So when you're saying negative things to yourself, thinking negative thoughts, beating yourself up, being hard on yourself, and feeling like a failure, what good is it doing? What purpose is anger serving? Is it helping? There's a you that exists in your body. That is you. That is the real you. And maybe more importantly, you're going to wonder why in the name of Zeus's fucking butthole are we talking about this when all you guys maybe want to do is lose some weight. So that's important for me when it comes to understanding how you think about yourself and what you can achieve. This is important because it's your choices, your thoughts, your actions, your behaviors, and so on, leading us to where we are. This is about understanding what triggers you, causes you to act and react the way you do. And it all comes back to how you think and how you process thoughts about anything, including food, including exercise and relationships and jobs and money or whatever. I've said this before, posted about it on socials and talked about it. You don't see with your eyes, you see through them. The picture is inside your head. In your mind, on the screen of your mind is deciding what the image is, what it sees. It's interpreting. And the image on the screen matters. You're playing this movie inside your body, and that movie is showing to the world. Make it a good fucking movie, friends.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.